Hey, it's Coop from the Showtime Lakers. When I was winning 5 titles in the 80s, I was known as the gritty guy who never took a night off. Today, I put the same hustle and grind in my business skills. If you're out in the business world grinding away like me, then you need the tools that help do the work for you. My most valuable business asset comes from Shopify, the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business. Let me tell you why Shopify is my MVP in business. One, forget the all-season work. Shopify makes it simple to sell to anyone from anywhere. Two, whether you're selling warm-ups or wall hangers, it's time to start selling with Shopify and join the platform that simplifies commerce for millions of businesses worldwide. Three, with Shopify, you'll customize your online store to your brand, discover new customers, and build the relationships that create diehard fans. Four, Shopify fills all the sales channels to grow a winning business, from an in-person POS system to an all-in-one e-commerce platform. Even across social media, platforms like TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. And thanks to 24/7 support and free on-demand business courses, Shopify is on your team every step of the way. It's how every minute, new sellers around the world score their first sale with Shopify, and you can too. Shopify is a secret to becoming a business champion by making it simple for anyone to sell their products anywhere, taking the guesswork out of selling. When you're ready to take your winning idea to the world, team up with Shopify, the commerce platform powering millions of businesses down the street and around the globe. Try out Shopify for free today and start selling anywhere. Sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/showtime, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/showtime to start selling online today. That's shopify.com/showtime.
Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
2023, you guys, and I'm winging it. Hi, it's Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. That's the website, The Dork Forest, if you like a determiner. Dorkforest.com also works. JackieCation.com has all of my stand-up information. Like, it has videos, it has pictures, it has links to this podcast and to my other podcast with Lori Kilmartin. It has a merch store that has Dork Forest t-shirts. It has all of my stand-up merch and all of my CDs and DVDs. So, that's what you know about websites. There's an opportunity, because we're in the new year here, that you can donate to the Dork Forest. I don't have a Patreon. I don't have anything really set up, though I understand you can set up on PayPal a monthly if you wanted to. You could donate and be of to support the show. This is the 17th season, the 17th year I've been putting this stuff out. It's free, but if you have money and would like to throw me some money, boy, howdy. There's a PayPal, and there is at my email address, actually, jackie@jackiecation.com, which you can also email me and tell me how much you're enjoying the show. You can also do Venmo if you'd like, which is just Jackie Cation, no hyphen, all one word, picture of this person, me. And then I think that's it. I think I have Zelle, but it's too complicated. Other than that, let's do the credits. Patrick Brady, still in, fixing the audio all these years later. Give it up to Patrick Brady. That's what a lot of your donations support, by the way, because I like to share the wealth. And then Vilmos, he does the websites. And Mike Rickberg wrote and sang that song. Composed and sang that song with his wife now, Sarah. And at the end, he sings the Mexican Hat Dance, which is always fun. Anyway, I'm sure there's more to it. There's a band camp that has a bunch. It has like a stand-up storytelling album that was never released. There's also a bunch of live episodes that many of them are free. There were 200 episodes that were not pre-recorded, and I sort of culled through those, and I pulled like 17 of the best ones. There's an album collection of that, 17 hours of Dork Forest. If you run through all of the episodes, go to bandcamp.com, Dork Forest, or Google those words, and you'll find it. Anyway, there's probably more. I can't remember any of it, but you're doing great. Feel free to enjoy the show.
Feel free to applaud. Hello and welcome to the Dork Forest live in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, which is exciting. I'm at the Snow Jam Comedy Festival. How many of you guys are comics? Very nice. As I was telling Dan earlier, 22 people, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. We're at 19. I'm including, 23. I'm including sound and the guests. We're at about 23, 24 people. Yes. Anywhere in the world, ladies and gentlemen, Rangers of the Dork Forest, 22 people will gather to watch a live performance of the Dork Forest. So, welcome to the show, by the way. Welcome to me, to this town, which is 20 degrees. And welcome to my guests. My guests are two comics. And Luke, are you also one of the founders of this?
Not one of the founders, but I am one of the producers.
There you go. It's happening. Snow Jam Comedy Fest. Couple of nerds, couple of dorks, coming in hot on the Dork Forest.
Yeah.
Luke Johnson.
Hello.
And Dan Bublitz. Bublitz
with the first time.
With long ooh. You're a junior?
Ooh,
is that correct?
I am a junior.
All right. So there's a Dan Bublitz senior.
This is correct.
All right. You going to name your son the second?
No.
You going to wrap it up?
I'm not having a son.
Oh, there you go. There's 8 billion people
daughter.
On the planet. We're psyched he's not breeding. If you want one, go to the pound, just like everybody else. And Dan, Luke, welcome to the program. What I don't have is I don't have any of the, all I have is the Snow Jam social media. So, Luke, what is your social media handle? We're the masses to want to. I do have more listeners than live viewers.
I mostly try to stay off the social medias, but I do have a comedy Twitter page.
Okay.
What's your address?
Sure, come on over. We'll have waffles. It'll be great. No, I do have L. Johnson Comedy on Twitter.
Okay.
And that's about it.
Those days are numbered. And how about yourself, Dan?
Can't wait to get rid of it.
I'm on D. I'm D. Bub Comedy on everything.
Okay. B-U-B?
Yep. B-U-B.
D is in Dan?
Yep.
Bub is in Bub?
Yep.
All right.
Comedy. Easy
Comedy.
Peasy.
Easy peasy. All right. Well, that's where you can find. And I know, Dan, you live in Loveland.
Yeah, I do. Loveland,
and
Colorado.
Work the road out of Loveland, Colorado. Luke, where do you live?
I live right here in Sioux Falls.
Right here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota?
That's right.
All right, go Jackrabbits. Okay, so I saw today at the Target that you have a team called Jackrabbits. All right, now, you're both gamers.
Yep.
You're both old school,
mm-hmm.
multifaceted, diamonds in the rough, dorks of value.
Oh, yeah.
Speak to me about your favorite game. Currently, let's go back. Let's start now and go back. Start with you, Luke.
All right. My current game is, I've actually gotten back into this hobby recently. It is known as e-wrestling. That's right. It is it's a form of, like, it's sort of a community writing project that's sort of competitive and sort of cooperative.
Oh, wait, was this the old time you send it off in the mail and then get it back in the mail?
It started off that way.
Right. But now we have the internet.
Yeah. By the time I got involved, it was all on message boards, and now it's run through websites and WordPress and Discord.
Sure.
And all kinds of stuff like that.
And so e-wrestling, tell me.
So the way
you
it works.
Fake wrestle things, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a wrestling.
So each of the players, they have their character, might be a singles wrestler, might be a tag team, and they just write little stories.
Yes.
About their characters, see what they're. It started off as just cutting promos on each other, so we'll just log in, say awful things, you know, like the internet is. And then shoot back and forth for a while, and then they'll have a match, someone will decide who wins, and it's a great time. But now it's gotten more into, like, telling the personal stories of these characters, and then also how they interact with each other.
Fantastic. So there's backstory.
Yeah.
And that is done via over Discord with a community.
Yep, we do.
Like, how does it play?
So someone will book the show. So there'll be, like, with the one I'm in right now, there's usually 6 or 7 matches on the show. And thankfully, someone came to their senses at one point and decided to put limits on how much we could do. Because it used to be just write as much as you want, and it was insane, and we all got burned out. Now it's you write one role play for your match, with a place I am, it is a maximum of 3,500 words.
Wow, 3,500 words. That is a commitment to, no, I don't think you understand. This is his third dog. Wow. The first two, well, you know, Skippy, when he was a stop. Anyway, keep it current. So you write a little backstory about, like, what's the name of your current character?
So I'm currently running a character named Nate Colton.
He does sound handsome.
He's a handsome lad. His story is that he is from kind of a big wrestling, like his dad was a big wrestling star previously.
Dynasty.
And his brothers and his sister and cousin are all wrestlers as well.
Speed Racer.
Yeah, but he's the oldest of the group, so he's kind of setting that trend and making that path for the rest of his family.
Okay.
And so he's got to deal with not only his own career, but the struggles of having that familiar pressure on him.
Awesome. All right. And what are his... like what? How do you get to stats?
So with this being, with the one we do is fully written, so the stats don't actually matter. So you can just kind of make them up.
Okay. So how does the battle happen? How does the wrestling match occur?
So that occurs when everyone writes their story, and then someone judges it and decides who wins, and then that gets passed off to someone else who actually writes the match. And those of us who are in it can make suggestions of, okay, here's some things I want to happen. Here's kind of the basic story of the fight that I'd like to see. And then they incorporate that.
Right, because what if they're a high flyer? What
exactly.
If they like to stand on a cord and jump into the sky?
Exactly. Okay. So, and then, yeah, the writer incorporates that for one wrestler. And then the other one may have maybe just a big power guy
okay.
or gal or what have you.
And. The claw.
Exactly.
Right.
The claw.
Okay. And then, but so what it is somebody is judging your writing skills.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is the greatest game in the world. What on earth? And it's literally just prose on prose crime.
Yeah.
Like it's like head to head match. I'm a better wrestler with a better backstory than you.
More or less, yes.
Okay. Are you describing what you look like? And like, is there. Is it in third person? Is it in first person? Can you do either?
You can do either. There's one of the people I've worked with does most of their storytelling like from their own internal monologue.
Okay.
But that internal monologue is also still somehow an outside observer to the character. It's very interesting.
Very Unabomber. All right. That feels like both self-aware and spooky.
Yep.
So.
And sometimes you can incorporate what we call the promo where you're shouting insults at your opponent and talking about how great this match is going to be and how much you're better. And you can do that any way you want. Mine is just a straight up simple. I am talking to the camera when I do that. Someone just debuted a character where their promos they write down in a diary.
Oh, all right. All right. Well, and they were on the Titanic or are they just, why are they, this is a.
They just have a diary and they're writing it down.
Does anyone at any time say this isn't going to be a wrestling match, it's going to be a war?
You know, I would hope so.
Because that's a line from the 70s when
the
Crusher and Baron von Raschke used to play each other in some sort of jumping around business. Okay, so have you been winning?
Yes, I have. I've been doing very well. This is probably my third major stint in this hobby, but I've taken a break for about 10 or 12 years.
Well, it feels like a commitment. Like, how often do you guys have matches, and who pairs up who?
Yeah, so there will be, in whatever federation you're in, someone will be in charge to make the decisions of what matches are we going to do.
Okay.
And then, right now, also, the shows occur every 2 weeks.
Okay.
So there's 1 week of the role play period, and then the next week is putting the show together.
And does the role play happen on essentially the message board and Discord, where you just talk shit at each other and speculate how the game's going to go?
Yeah. Well, for the actual role play, those have again more gotten to the point of telling your own personal story, and then a lot of the actual like confrontational moments, those happen in segments on the show, which the two people involved get together. Usually like on a Google Doc that they can both access and they just.
So this is still written?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So nobody on Discord is talking to each other?
I mean, they can. There's voice channels. But yeah, mostly it's just all
it's
text.
It's literally like, allow me to show you how this is done with this paragraph. That's outstanding. The thing is people say that kids don't write anymore. And they're wrong. They're wrong because clearly this is going on. How long does the show last?
So the show, it's meant to be probably like your standard professional wrestling show. So about 2 hours for the regular ones and longer for the pay-per-view events.
Okay.
Of course we're building to pay-per-views. We are committed to the bit.
Yes.
That's amazing.
And those have actually gotten so out of control that then they now take place on two nights.
The pay-per-views?
Yep.
Okay.
And then
how are they? Who curates those?
And again, that's
and how do they take 2 hours? Are people releasing the paragraphs every 12 seconds?
Sort of. The way we usually do the show releases is we'll do a Twitch stream. So the people who run the Federation, they will get on and kind of explain what's happening in this segment and then this match.
Oh.
And then they'll talk about like the differences in the role plays that week and why they decided who won. And then there'll be
it's a Twitch show in the final where do they read your script aloud?
No.
Scripts are just available.
Yeah, they're just available. Anyone can go read them.
Awesome. Well, this is amazing. Quite honestly, are there t-shirts? Is there merch?
People have designed merch.
Okay, that is fine.
Of course they have.
Well, they ought to have. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, it's very fun, and I've been doing this since I was in college off and on, and I always... It's that kind of thing that I really should be ashamed of it, but no, I'm done with that.
No, double down, my friend.
All right.
This is now
go
the
all in.
It's we all got to stop the voices. So, Dan, what are you currently playing?
I do a lot of role playing is what I've been doing currently, but I
tabletop
just
gotta, or
yeah, tabletop.
Okay.
Yeah, tabletop.
What engine? What
5th edition. D&D 5th edition.
Okay.
Most
all
recently.
Right.
And then we're getting ready to do a 3.5 campaign.
Sure. So. Set in what is the world?
I'm not sure what world we're going to be playing.
Because you're not Dungeon Master?
No, I'm not the Dungeon Master. I just play. I'm too lazy to put that much work into creating a world. That's why I have friends that can do that.
Right, so you're currently playing in a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons game.
Yes. Yep.
With several friends.
I actually play with the same group of friends that I've been playing with since middle school.
That, of course, is epic.
Yeah.
You're not playing the same game.
No.
That
would be amazing. I wish, because that would be amazing.
Right,
different
would be
games,
gods.
But the same groups of people, yeah.
Right. And so do you play over Zoom or Discord?
We'll play over Zoom. And there's like web applications that you can use. There's like Fantasy Grounds.
Roll20.
Okay. Different applications that you can use to play too. But yeah, so we'll use like Zoom for the video and communication
the
social part, and then one of those engines to run the characters and stuff.
And how many people are in this current 5th edition game?
Right now, we've got there's four of us who played together since middle school, and then my other friend's wife plays once in a while too, and so we have some other random people, but
girls.
It's usually four to six players usually.
Are there some sort of rotating? Is there like if people can't show?
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Kind of, yep.
Okay.
Yep. Especially me. I'm the one that usually can't show.
Right. Well, you're on the road.
I'm on the road.
So,
yeah.
What's your what is your character?
So in the last thing that we were playing, we were doing a Ravenloft, actually, was the world that we were in. And I'm playing a Tabaxi Warlock. There we go. Couldn't get the words out. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So
they have warlocks in 5th edition?
Yeah.
You're a magic user.
Yep.
But
yep.
Not a sorcerer or a wizard.
No, more of a roguish character.
Interesting.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. And then the race, the Tabaxi, is just like a giant cat.
You're a giant cat that
I'm
is a warlock.
Cat man. I'm like a thundercat.
But okay.
And haven't we all dreamed of that?
Right?
So you are a catman, and who are your... do you have a cleric?
We have the closest thing we have in this group is we have a paladin. We have a couple paladins on this one. So we don't have a proper cleric, but we have healers.
Yeah, you better.
Group. Yeah.
You better have some healers, my friend.
Yeah.
You want to go into some... I once went into a dungeon without a healer. Guess what happened? Yeah, I died. Anyway,
you didn't come out of the dungeon.
Right, they had to drag me out and find a necromancer. Anyway, so what are the other characters? So you have a couple of paladins?
Yeah, we have a couple of paladins. I forget what race they were playing. I know we have we have somebody that's a dragonborn, and then we have a tiefling in the group. And this particular campaign is based off a module.
Okay.
That my friend who's running the campaign, it's a really hard module too. Like, you die a lot.
Okay, so he isn't particularly writing it.
No, he's kind of going up. He's right. Taking some liberties and stuff to it. Like, one thing that he added is if you die, he's bringing people back, but then you've got some kind of a curse. Like, you get in touch with the afterworld. So, like, when I died, I came back, and I had contact with a lynch that I had to go try to retrieve something for them and bring it to them, and then the curse went away.
Right. Well, that wasn't a curse so much as a debt.
Well, yeah.
Why don't you go pay that off?
Well, it was a curse because there was a lot of, like, internal, like, communication in the brain.
So whoever's your dungeon master, your game master in this case, is running this game over Zoom. And how long have you been – is he just doing mods and then you finish the module?
No. Well,
using the word mod wrong. I've been learning. So sorry. That's something to do with action figures. Go ahead.
This last campaign, we've kind of we put it on hold. We haven't played for a little while. Now another friend of ours is getting ready to start the 3.5 group. So okay. We're getting ready to start a new group, but it kind of rotates. Three of my friends pretty much do all the DMing, and then they just kind of rotate around, and then we just kind of switch.
Okay.
And it just kind of had to go, like, the Ravenloft, our schedules just weren't working anymore, so we just took a timeout from that. But now we're going to try a different game
edition?
With a different DM.
Okay. So. All right. Well, so what we have here is so now we're back to – I'm just going to keep asking questions. If you have other stories you would like to pipe up, feel free to do so.
Okay.
What games did you enjoy playing as a child, Luke?
We had a bunch of board games around the house when I was little.
Did you have good board games or did you have the lame Parcheesi's? What's happening?
We had some Parcheesi. We had some Monopoly.
Parcheesi was my dad's favorite game.
Your dad is the devil. Because Parcheesi is almost mind-numbingly boring. And, of course, Monopoly is the devil. Created to show that capitalism wasn't great. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Played a fair amount of Hi-Ho Cherry-O.
Oh, there you go. Those are that's early games.
Oh, yeah.
Roll the dice, move your mice. Mm-hmm. A little bit of that.
Oh, yeah. A little bit. And then didn't
the
actually...
The first great game?
First great game. Ooh. Well, for... I remember actually finally getting into RPGs through one of my friends in high school who had a bunch of books for a bunch of different systems. I think our favorite at the time was BattleTech.
And what is that?
So that is a game where you are the pilot of a giant robot and you have to fight other giant robots.
Well, that's good times.
Yeah, there's missiles and everything.
All right. And so did you play BattleTech?
A little bit.
Or did you just read the books at each other and make characters? This is a valid game. I'm not making fun. It sounds awesome. I wish I had someone
That's
to
so
read
funny,
books
though.
At with when I was in high school
first,
and make characters.
Stop staring into my soul. And two. but yeah, we played a little bit. None of the campaigns we ever tried to do back then lasted very long. Like, we might get one session in.
Right.
And then someone would get grounded and we couldn't play anymore.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Did you, were there, because I remember when I was a kid finding, like, the neighbors had, there was a weird board game that I was like, why aren't we playing this board game all the time? And it was because it was theirs. It wasn't mine. And it was there was an art one where it was the classic. It was classic masters, masterpieces, and it might have been called masterpiece. And then there was also a stack of what the value of that art was, with also some forgery cards. And you would shuffle. You would take one from each, and you'd find out that you had a forgery of the Mona Lisa or whatever, and you would still try to sell it. And I don't remember. So were there any cool board games that you remember as a child?
Hero Quest for me.
Hero Quest?
Hero Quest was a
I feel like I've heard of that, but I don't know it.
It's very similar to role playing, but it was like with miniatures. It was a board game. You would have somebody that acted as a DM and just kind of guided it, but it was more, you do more adventures, and you had like 3D model pieces that would set up, and you would go into a room and you could search it, and you had characters, and you went on quests. As a group.
So it had pretty good toy.
Oh yeah,
pretty good toy value.
Absolutely. It was, and even now, last time I checked, like the original ones, because they brought it back, they redid it and made it a little better, for modern times.
Right.
But the original ones are worth over $100 if you can get them near complete. They're pretty popular.
Are there? Here's where this falls apart a little bit, because all I remembered is that you both did tabletop RPGs. And I've forgotten your other dorkdoms.
It's quite all right.
So what,
there's a many between the two of us.
Right. Just pick one.
You could probably just throw a dorkdom our way, and we would probably be
action
able to
figures,
talk about it.
Are there any toys or games that you collect or enjoy?
Oh, yeah.
You should see my studio.
I think a part of it was, like, I grew up in the 80s, which was the golden age of cartoons as toy commercials.
Yep.
And so I've always been drawn to that. But, of course, we didn't have any money, so I didn't have any of those things. I spent a couple years collecting most of the toys from the cartoon Mask.
Ooh.
I don't know the cartoon Mask. Aged out, sorry.
Yeah, that was one. It was almost a cross between G.I. Joe and Transformers, really, because you have your regular vehicles that look like everyday normal cars, and then you could push a button and move a few things around, and suddenly it is this different kind of a vehicle that now has weapons, and they fight on covert missions and things. And then the pilots also have little figurines. They put on masks that give them secret powers.
Oh, that give them secret powers.
Yeah.
Not just hides their identity. Yeah. It actually, the masks themselves generate some sort of power.
Correct.
Okay. And you have some of those vehicles?
Yep, I have collected. I've actually just started selling them off, but I had most of the toy line for a while. There were a few things that I either didn't have space for or just wasn't interested in because they never appeared in the cartoon.
Okay.
But it's a lot of fun just having them there. And every once in a while, I'll push the button and turn this car into a plane for a while.
Right, sort of a desk toy. Yeah. Desk toy. How about yourself, Dan?
Oh, yeah, I collect action figures. More recently, I'm collecting action figures that are comedy related in the sense that if it was a comedic actor. So, like, I have...
That is a rabbit hole. What is that?
What is that? Well,
like
that's
Eddie Murphy in Coming to America.
If there was an action figure, yeah.
You would do it.
And, well,
but it had to be a comedy.
I have him from Coming to America 2 as a Funko Pop.
Okay, George Carlin as Thomas the Train?
I don't yet, but if I can find one, that would be amazing. I do have a Robin Williams from Morgan Mindy. Original, yeah. Actually, Brian, one of the other producers of the festival, gave that to me as a gift several years ago, so it was a cool little thing. But yeah, so I got like Funko Pops of comedic actors, so I have things from like the Adam Sandler movies, the National Lampoon movies, things like that. So.
Right. Are they booking any women? they never are. All right. So such a jackass. Anyways.
Well, as soon as they make that Jackie Cation action figure.
Yeah,
right?
I will definitely add it to it. I have the Funko Pop from Solar Opposites. That Mary Mack plays the voice.
Oh, there you go. You do. So Mary,
Mary Mack.
There's some work.
Yep, and she signed it too. So that's awesome.
I have a guy made a tiny Lego minifig of me that has the head changes or the head spins and has stickers, and then there's a different torso. One has a Captain Marvel jacket on, and one has I think just a t-shirt, but and then someone else made a Hot Wheels character car of me. Because Hot Wheel character cars, of course, are not the car that Bugs Bunny would drive, but the car that Bugs Bunny would be if Bugs Bunny were a car. So there's a whole Hot Wheels theme called character cars. And they do a lot of, there's video games like Overwatch and different video games are representing Mario and stuff like that, but they mostly do Marvel, DC, and Looney Tunes. So, though I do have a Winnie the Pooh cement truck that has honey.
I was just going to ask, if Winnie the Pooh was a car, what would it be?
A honeycomb of some sort, or a beehive. And so they made one for me and one for Lori Kilmartin. And mine, weirdly enough, an El Camino. I would not have called it.
How did they decide that? What factors did they put into
that? I've never gotten an answer to that. I've never understood. I mean, I get it. This has a vibe. It has sort of a rural Wisconsin white trashy kind of. It's a pickup truck, but it's also a car. Because it would be a very useful. They were practical. I'm not saying they weren't. So what else? I know you collect more than just that. Yeah.
I do have I'm actually trying to keep it limited because I move fairly frequently and there's just a big damn hassle.
Witness protection?
I do.
Running from the law?
People keep trying to ask for rent.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
Oh, bill collectors.
I'm not into that. Not about
Look
that.
Look over
life.
There.
Exactly. But I've got like a few wrestling figures and a bunch of old Transformers that a friend of mine just mailed me, actually. Very excited about that. So I've added Optimus Prime and the Revival to my nativity scene.
Oh, that's nice. Amazing. And the nativity scene with action figures is one of my favorite things.
It is. My girlfriend is less excited.
who portrayed whom in this year's nativity scene, if you've got it?
I actually have figurines that were a gift from my grandmother to my mother.
That's the
main stars are still the main stars.
Okay.
The Revival originally showed up as the three wise men because I don't have three, so you get two top guys. And then that's also the third of that bunch is the role that Optimus is filling.
Okay. Oh, fair enough. I've often looked for a Cerebus action figure so that that could be the three wise men. But
I like it.
That would be, but right now it's Jack Frost from that Guardians movie, and Saruman, mm-hmm. and the third one this year was Lucy. I went more gender fluid from Peanuts, and then the baby Jawa has always been the baby Jesus, mm-hmm. a little Jawa baby, and then Queen Amidala usually Mary, and then this year I forget. Oh my gosh, I forgot who Joseph was.
They usually do.
Oh, it was Linus. Yeah, that's right. Always overlooked. And it was Linus. And but I always have an angel. Like I had the Sandman from the Guardians was an angel, an actual tiny angel someone gave me. And then that moose that poops jelly beans represents all the animals in the stable. So
I like it.
Did you do anything with a nativity scene at all?
I did not.
Okay.
I didn't decorate at all for Christmas, not even traditional Christmas things. I was a Scrooge.
All right.
I was like, I knew I was going to come home to visit my family for Christmas. I got stranded in Nebraska, so I'm a little bitter about this year's Christmas.
Fair enough. So what other collections do you have?
I do comic books as well, more specifically to like Ed Brubaker, Sean Phillips are two of my, that's my favorite creative team, so I've been going back and getting a lot of their back issue stuff. You know, they've got their Reckless series that they've been doing, which is a graphic novel series that they've been putting out, which has been really, really good.
He does like crimey noir. And then Sean Phillips. There we go. It's sort of it looks kind of pen and ink, but it's mm-hmm. it is in color.
Yep.
So
yep.
Very beautiful.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite? Is that criminal your favorite of his? Or
actually, Reckless has been really good. But I think so. Like one of the best ones that they've done was Pulp, which was really, really good. Because it was a pulp writer, but he was talking about his old West times. And, I don't want to give anything away, but it was kind of a Western.
But set in early... set in sort of like the 30s or something?
Yeah, yep.
And he was like, back when it was the Old West, I was a sheriff or something?
Kind of like that, yeah.
Okay, I don't think I read that one.
Yeah, Pulp was really good.
Okay, what about you?
I also have a fair amount of comics. Again, not for a while. I've kind of gotten out of it, but I have the entire run of the Wally West era Flash.
What year is that?
That is 1987 to 2000 and something.
Okay. And Wally was the Flash?
Yep. He, Barry Allen's nephew became the Flash after Crisis on Infinite Earths.
How did he become the Flash? What is the origin of the Flash?
Was it
a lab error?
So the...
Not error, but yeah. I mean like something that happened in a laboratory?
Yep, struck by lightning and got chemicals on him in a laboratory.
Oh, okay. Oh, together.
Yeah, well,
okay,
yep. And that's how Barry Allen became the Flash. And then later it also happened to Wally West. While Barry was explaining, here's what happened to me, happens again.
That's how convenient.
Super convenient.
Okay, so why is that... Why is that arc particularly compelling?
So I got drawn into that because of the villains. Flash has a lot of
villains.
Yep. I got in through like Justice League, JLA, JSA from that era, which are also both great. And then, started collecting some Batman. And I'm thinking, what do I like about Batman? I like his cool villains. Who else has a bunch of villains? This guy.
Does he have the same villains as Batman?
Nope. Different villains. Whereas I found like a lot of Batman's villains are like all have a psychiatric thing.
They're insane.
Yeah,
they're madmen.
And they're based on like one specific aspect of their madness. A lot of the Flash villains are science based because Flash is also a very scientific minded character.
Oh, sort of mad scientists or
a little bit, yeah.
Like who is a famous
right? One of the big ones is Captain Cold. Who has a...
All right, there's some reaction from the audience, you guys.
Who has a gun that can slow the molecular movement of anything to absolute zero.
Oh, because everybody's chilly.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And basically, it's something just that he got caught trying to rob a bank by the Flash. He got mad, so while he's in prison, he just reads up on the concept of absolute zero and then escapes and builds a gun, and now he can do this thing.
Oh, so he is not himself like Mr. Freeze.
No.
He's got a gray gun that, mm-hmm. that makes everybody stop.
Yep, and that's a lot of the Flash villains just have a device that allows them to perform their crimes.
Please name another one.
There is. Well, there's Heatwave, who has a flamethrower.
Okay.
as one might expect. Weather Wizard, who has a wand that can control the weather.
So what kind of weather does he pick? Does he pick sunny days? Or?
You know, once in a while.
Okay.
But not often. Usually
when he wants to go on a picnic or something?
Usually, yeah. Usually nice it's breeze. Tornadoes and ice and hail and things like that.
All right.
Mirror Master, who can do all kinds of crazy things with mirrors.
Oh,
and so like he'll make like duplicates of himself to confuse. He will trap people in mirror dimensions where everything's weird.
Yeah.
Lot of fun exploration with that character.
That's cool. Have you ever wanted to be an inventor?
Oh, there was a time.
Because it feels like because of all these characters having a device that you might enjoy a MacGuffin, that you might enjoy having a device.
You know,
just the thing kind of thing.
You know, I have often wanted a MacGuffin.
Right, it would be convenient to have just the thing device.
Yeah.
It sounds amazing.
And, of course, first I have to find out who has one, and then I have to take it from them.
Well, then you become a supervillain,
exactly.
Which is less positive.
My ad. I'm about to do an ad. Hey, Rangers, me, Jackie Cation here, talking to you about HelloFresh. You know, where they deliver all the foods to you and then you make the foods. I really like it. Let me just tell you something. It's farm fresh. It's pre-portioned ingredients. There's seasonal recipes, and it's delivered right to your doorstop. Doorstop? Doorstep? Whatever it is, but it's there. And it's affordable. If you send out for takeout, if you have groceries delivered, it's cheaper than that. And it's more interesting than that. Let me just say that. You just skip the grocery store and you take control of your time and your budget with delicious recipes delivered right to your door. And they are delicious and they're interesting and they're things that I wouldn't do myself. There's like a bulgogi recipe that I did recently that was amazing. It was a bulgogi bowl. That's a Korean rice bowl with a bunch of pork and food. And you can make it vegan. You can make it vegetarian. They do everything. They have over 35 weekly recipes. They have options if you're looking to help you achieve any sort of goals, right? If you have Calorie Smart or Carb Smart, you could customize select meals by swapping proteins or sides, upgrading your proteins or adding a protein to a veggie dish. I'm telling you, this is a really good idea. There's a way to eat well. The way everything is packaged, it doesn't use that much. Like it's environmentally friendly is what I'm saying. And there's extra stuff and the portions are big enough that like a two person thing feeds all three of us, Andy, myself, and my mother-in-law. So I say do HelloFresh, you guys. I love it. The bulgogi was really good. There was tacos that were really interesting. The sauces are usually stuff I don't have in my, but then I can use this information and go forth to make other meals, right? So HelloFresh makes cooking easy and very fresh and makes it easy and very fast. So go to HelloFresh.com/dork22 and use the code dork22 for 22 free meals plus free shipping. So DORK22. And so HelloFresh.com/dork22 and use code dork22 for 22 free meals plus free shipping. It's America's number one meal kit, you guys. So let's get back into the show.
What else are you collecting?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, all kinds of
things.
I mean,
yeah.
It's all kinds of things. I'm kind of random figures. I do the little, the
Tiny
metal figs. They're, what are they called?
Warhammer?
No, okay. Not Warhammer, but they're nano figs. There we go. So they come in like sets of, you know, maybe five based on, you know, comic book characters or whatever.
Oh.
They have sets of 20. They're little metal.
And they're metal?
And they're painted, yeah.
Okay, yep. Are they come painted or
they
you
come
don't
painted.
Have to paint?
They come painted.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, they come painted, but they're just little figures about this tall. I mean, very small, maybe
and
an
do
inch
you
or
go
two.
And a particular theme?
No, I do all. I have them in I have wrestlers. I have DC Universe, Marvel Universe, Harry Potter. I think I have, what else do I have? There's another set that I have as well. I can't remember what it was, but yeah. So I have all kinds of them. If I see them, I usually buy them.
And so there are four or five of them, or five or six of them.
Yep. And then
they're tiny.
And then
they're
sets
metal.
Of sets of 22 sometimes. So
they're not like HeroClix. They don't have.
No, they're not even part of a game.
They're not even part of a game
for display. Yeah. And then they sell displays to display them that you can hang on the wall and
right.
light up and stuff. So
okay, like backlit to
mm-hmm.
show them off and.
Yep. Like they made one for like the Batcave for the Batman stuff that they put out.
Okay.
So you could do that and put that on display.
That'd be cool.
Then they just have like a basic shelf with, you know, each, it has a slot for each figure and then it lights up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So you plug it in.
Mm-hmm. Or okay. battery operated.
Or
yeah.
something like
yep.
that. Okay. What about other, because I'm trying to think like what, like as I has been established, you may or may not know this, those of you who just stumbled in for some reason to this magic shop in South Dakota. But the Andy collects many items. He collects Hot Wheels. He mm-hmm. collects comic books. He collects Micronauts. And he collects dice.
He used to collect dice.
I don't know that he's collecting dice. I think people... Like, gamers give each other dice,
yeah.
and then all of a sudden, you have unicorns, right? I mean, you told somebody you liked a dice game, and now you have
all
many different kinds of dice.
Yep.
All
I actually
of
used
the
to
dice.
Buy them by the pound.
Really?
Yeah, because you could buy them in bulk. When I owned a comic book shop, and I would order by the bulk, and then I would just buy the bag for myself.
So when you're looking to purchase, because I've been gifted dice just because I'm adjacent, and I enjoy games. I will play all the games and do all the things, but I don't like. I was raised to not want things. Like, just there's like, you're going to have to dust that. So why would you? Literally a saying of my stepmother's. She's like, put that away or I'm going to throw it away. And you're going to have to dust that because I'm not dusting that. And so I have, like, I have two wands. I have Harry Pottery wands that have been given to me, which are cool, but I'm not playing with them. I mean, they're just in their fancy leather boxes. They're nice wands. Like, one of them lights up and talks and stuff. And the other one works at Universal. So if you stand in a certain spot and do a certain thing, it makes like a Jack in the Box come up. And what I tend to collect are a series of books. Like, I have a lot of, like, all the science fiction. Like, I have all the Harry Potter novels in hardcover from England.
Ooh.
Because of the art. And then I had a separate, I had the same books in paperback that I used for rereading. Because I might be a dork. And then, we can, if we'd like, discuss that J.K. Rowling is no longer the great role model that she was with the first five books. She didn't lose me. She started losing me when she wrote 200 pages of camping in the seventh book. That's when I realized that no one was editing her and she needed some sort of leash. Do you guys collect anything like that?
Yeah, I have. Well, I've lost a couple of them. Well, my siblings lost a couple of them, but I have the... I lent them out, and you know, it's fine.
Oh, you know that Andy's dad used to write on the inside of books when he lent it, stolen from Clyde Ashcroft. That's what he would write inside the books.
That is fantastic. Yeah. But I have the entire Terry Pratchett Discworld novel series.
All of them?
Like, not anything.
Wait,
that wasn't.
That's right. You lent them out and they didn't. How many are there?
There, it just, of just the novels that come in like mass market paperback size, like 40.
Okay. It took me about six of those to get into them, and I've read about... They're okay, but they're... You know, I had read Good Omens.
Oh, yeah.
Which
Good
is the Neil Gaiman, Terry Pratchett crossover book, which a lot of nodding. And and of course, it's an Amazon show now.
Yep.
And so I thought that they did a really good job because Neil Gaiman is such a sad sack, quite honestly. Like, I really like Sandman, and I enjoyed Coraline, and I've read all the things. But he is super dour, and Terry Pratchett is a silly, silly man. Mm-hmm. Passed away now, but super silly. But Good Omens is the perfect chemistry of that.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was like, oh, maybe I would like Discworld. And I read it, and I was like, too punny, too silly. Sixth one, I'm in. I'm on board. Yep. Please tell me more about the turtle.
It is, yeah. Did you start like from the beginning or just picking at random? Okay. You can kind of pick at random with that series. And yeah, the early ones are, they're a bit rough, but as you get later on, there's definitely a sweet spot where he's got the voices of all the different characters he's using.
Okay, and now there's some nodding here. What would you, were you saying like a dozen in? I stopped at about 12.
Right. I don't remember the exact order.
Because I would buy them used.
Right. The one, I think it was the first one that I read was The Hogfather.
Okay, that's actually a movie too, isn't it?
Yes. They did a movie. It's basically the Discworld's version of Santa Claus, and there's a whole story surrounding that, and it gets into kind of what these kind of fables, these stories mean to people and why they're important to keep telling them, even though we all know. All right, Kerner, cover your ears. Even though we know Santa's not real.
Spoiler alert. I'll put it in your notes. Luke Johnson, you're ruining children.
Santa denier. Right.
And Santa denier.
That's my one conspiracy theory. I'm
and
sorry.
So the first one you read was Hogfather, which is a very distinct, very special issue. I think I read one that took the first one I read. Either took place at that university town.
Yep.
Or with the army. And I can't remember. They were soldiers. So by the sixth one, I did realize that there was a depth to them. because it's all very, very, they're light. They're super light. And but by the third or fourth one, you're like, oh, he's actually encouraging, because they're for children, or they can be read by children.
Yeah.
They're just encouraging sort of a sort of a kindness and an inclusion,
mm-hmm.
that and it makes fun of sort of meanness and over just pride and yeah. arrogance and stuff, and it makes fun of that. So I really did end up enjoying those a great deal.
Yeah, they're fun and funny reads, but also, yeah, again, he is saying something with these stories.
Right. He's just, I mean, I don't know how you could not, like, especially if you write 40 of something.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, no, it's not about anything. What? Please stop writing. So how about, do you have a favorite?
For books, I don't collect anymore, but no. I do. I just because I'm running out of space. Not,
right, right.
I've got too many comic books now, so I don't do books. And right. books are really heavy to move. I used to collect all kinds of books. Not
what was? Books. Did you have series that you got into?
I
or did
the
you,
one oh, series authors. That I really did get into was the Alex Cross novels from James Patterson.
Oh.
I love, again, because I'm a big true crime person, and
it
and
sounds
more,
murdery,
and it very very much.
Okay, so James Patterson, British American.
I think American.
Okay.
I could
read
be wrong,
Reacher
though. I don't know
novels.
Much about him. I know he, like, lived, like, in, I think he's, like, from Florida.
Oh, fair
I
enough.
Think.
So I read the Jack Reacher novels, which was the closest to mm-hmm. sort of, I read Louis L'Amour and the Jack Reachers, and then I'm in, that's all I have in common with all of your dads. I have not read the James Patterson novels. What do you like about those?
Oh, they're just, it's really, I think the character is really good.
Is at it least a it recurring?
Be, yeah, it's a reoccurring character. He's got like several books with Alex Cross. Alex
oh,
Cross.
Oh, Alex Cross is the character.
Yes, and Alex Cross is a detective or worked like with the FBI out of Washington, D.C.
Sure.
Area. The movie Kiss the Girls, that's Alex
Cross. That's
Alex
a James
Cross.
Patterson?
Yep. That and okay. It's based on one of the novels.
Okay.
I think they did three movies now. There's Kiss the Girls. I forget what the other one was.
Okay.
What the other two are.
Is but. He kind of, does he have any superpowers? Like Jack Reacher always knows which way everybody went. Like there's no reason for him to know which way anybody, he's literally on a highway. The guy could have turned left or right. And he's like, oh, he turned right. You're like, how? Why? And then he says, well, it's because that's where the liquor store is. Or, I mean, he has a reason in the, sort of. But it doesn't, does Jack Patterson, does he just know things? Or wait,
think,
the Alex Cross
The
character?
Alex Cross. I think it'd be more, it's been a long time since I've read one, so
yeah,
I'm
yeah.
a little out of touch with where they are now. I know there's a ton of them, but I think his was more doing like profiling and stuff.
Oh,
too.
He did do profiling?
A little bit of profiling.
Okay, so, yeah. But no supernatural. Like he wasn't like.
No, no. Okay. just a regular cop.
Just a regular cop
detective.
Who happened to know things. He could yep. see patterns. That's
yep.
what he could see.
And solve the crimes. He could figure out
yeah.
who did the kidnapping.
Right. It's well, because there's a lot of crime shows. Like, there's good crime shows that are super crimey. And then there's shows where people have a superpower.
Mm-hmm.
Like that show Bones.
Yep.
She's got a hologram machine that can recreate the crime. And you're like, that's not real. Nobody has a hologram. I would like that hologram machine. So clearly that doesn't happen. Okay. So what else are you so what else do you love?
Well, lately I've gotten roped into the Yellowstone universe. And that's what I'm
well,
ashamed
that's a TV
to
show,
say.
Right?
Maybe.
That's like a grown-up dynasty kind
of yeah it's
soap
like
opera
and well and now it's spilled into westerns and so it's like a western and then there's
oh.
you know because they've done several spin-offs now just from Yellowstone like the whole going back to the family like there's the
oh back in time
1820 or 1883 is a series then they got 1923 I think that's what it is 1923 that just came out
when I
that's
was a wrong, child but, in the 12th century there was a series written by John Jakes. And John Jakes, is one. The first book took place in 1776, and then the next one took place during like the 14, like the War of 1812, and then it was the Civil War, and you're like, it was all war related. But the is Yellowstone? I think it's like seven seasons of that now, right?
Now there's four.
Just four seasons.
Just four.
And it's so popular that it's already two spinoffs.
Yes.
Wow. Yep. Who's in it?
Well, in 1883, you got Sam Elliott.
Oh,
is one of the main
Sam
characters.
Elliott's still alive, you guys.
Yeah. Harrison Ford is in 1923. He's one of the main characters.
Yeah.
In, yeah.
That's Banana Land.
Yeah.
Who's in Yellowstone?
Kevin Costner is the main guy behind
Kevin
that.
Costner is in the main guy in Yellowstone.
Yep. Yep.
So, and there's a small applause break for the series that Yellowstone is.
That's more
on television.
That's more excitement than I expected for Kevin Costner, to be honest. But
Kevin Costner.
But I like The Postman. So what do I know?
Waterworld and The Postman. That's a unique. It's a unique niche. I think there was too much Kevin Costner, sort of like Helen Hunt. We all got tired, and then she came back. So he is now back. Kevin Costner is back in force. And he does live in Montana. Does it take place in Montana?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. The whole series is kind of, they're
right
in, like
the...
in Bozeman area, you know. It's basically their ranching family.
Okay.
And so, but they're also kind of, it's basically, the way they describe it is if you took a Western and mixed it with the Sopranos, you kind of have that. Situation.
That is a hell of a log line. That is a very good log line. All right.
It's
little Game of Thrones.
Very, very much organized crime, but with cowboys, kind of.
Okay. All right. Did you watch The Sopranos?
I did watch The Sopranos.
Okay. Yeah. Did you ever see that movie, The Godfather? Have you ever heard of that one?
What? What is that? No.
I saw the first one.
Of course
one.
I saw that. I used to, because I'm a big into true crime.
That's
I've
right.
always had a passion for organized crime type stuff. So I know. I'm a criminal. No.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that they made a movie about God's dad.
Oh, it's like Hogfather, but much like... You gotta laugh. Well played.
Bravo, sir. Bravo.
Our sound guy gave me the finger. I have won the festival.
Everybody can go home.
It is. It is true crime. Do you ever watch those live, the sort of the realistic HGTV true crime?
Well, once in a while, like sometimes we'll throw on that. I usually watch that for like background. I listen to more true crime podcasts than I watch I'll watch some of the documentaries that come out, the docuseries like on Netflix and stuff like that. But like The First 48, sometimes I watch that. Just as background.
Did you ever read that book by that guy? Did you ever read that book by that guy?
I'm getting a very bad look about admitting that I watched The First 48.
I don't know what that is. What is that?
It's basically a docuseries, and it follows homicide detectives, but in different areas of the country.
Okay.
And so they got
the first 48 hours
is the most
important.
That's
the best. That's
case.
The most important time with a crime.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I don't want to see any of this stuff, but because it just seems kind of sad. But that doesn't mean...
it kind of is sad. Yeah. hence the reaction, probably, from saying I watched
it. I did a live Dork Forest once many years ago in Atlanta, Georgia, with a woman who was really so much into true crime that she taught herself and her daughter, a 15-year-old daughter, how to escape from the trunk of a car.
Oh, wow.
She said she locked her daughter in the trunk of a car with, like, a credit card or something, and then timed it how long it took her to get out of the. And I was like, that feels sane. And there's the point where we love things and we're a dork about them, and then there's where there's that line, and you're like, okay, I mean, maybe if she were snatched, then she could get out of the back of a trunk, but that's between her and her God. I did have there was a thread to this, and I can't remember what it was. Oh, I know, the book by the guy. There is the Chicago World Fair, nonfiction,
Devil in the White City?
Devil in the White City. Did you ever read that?
I did not.
You might want to get that on your Audible or something like that. It's about, I think, the first serial killer?
Yep.
Is that right?
H.H. Holmes. I have actually not read it, but I know about it. I want to, but I just haven't quite got around to it yet.
Okay, so that might be something that
I'll have to read that. I've listened to podcasts about H.H. Holmes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you don't know that.
I know who that person
and,
is.
And I, because I read one... Eric Larson?
Yep.
Did he write it? There we go. Because I read a different book by him, and it was about Churchill, and it was more cheerful. Even though it took place during the bombing of London, it was more cheerful. Right. It was quite inspiring, especially in these days, because it was about how you live through desperate days. Mm-hmm. And so it was I think I was telling you about it. It was it's essentially those London bombings and Churchill's reaction to them, but from the perspective of the people around him. So it's not Churchill going, "I am amazing." It's other people saying, "He thinks he's amazing, and he's pretty great, but he's a bit of a blowhard." And but he's doing some good work with the pep talks. So, and what it is it's called The Splendid and the Vile. And it's actually a really good pep talk if you need a pep talk. And who doesn't occasionally need a pep talk? Cool. What else? You guys into sports? No, I have no idea. Let me just say, a disclaimer, I'm talking with Luke Johnson and Dan Bublitz Jr. And they both gave me lists of things that they were dorked out about, and I don't have those. So this is on me. The fact that we got to go to the vault.
I definitely am not a sports person.
I kind of am, but again, this goes down weird rabbit holes. So
right, you have that wrestling thing.
I do, but for sports, one of my favorite things is when a team names themselves something weird, and then you know the
not racially weird.
No,
oh, good. Kidding. It was just. I gotta get nothing from you people. I'm just like, what the fuck? You guys are like, what just happened? This turned into an Amway clan meeting? It did not. Okay,
but the highlight
like the
of
Jackrabbits.
This. Yeah, the highlight of this really is a couple years ago, there was a like collegiate wood bat softball team that basically just. announced their name and the internet went wild because it was the Carolina Disco Turkeys.
Okay. First of all, wood bat. What game is that?
That is softball, but played with wood bats instead of metal.
And they refused. They're like, you cannot use an aluminum bat in this game.
Or maybe it's baseball, but yeah, still.
We are a wood bat people.
Both.
Okay. Oh, both softball and baseball? Hardball?
Yeah,
when you get the
professional. Yep.
There's professional softball?
This is a...
I am unfamiliar with the professional softball world.
I don't know. But yeah, this is like, I think even specifically a college team, but they play with wood bats in the summer.
And disco turkey.
Disco turkeys. So the logo is a peacock.
Things have taken a real left turn.
In a like John Travolta style leisure suit.
Sure.
Doing the pose with the bat.
Why not a turkey? Did anyone ask? I think the internet really asked?
Well, I assume that disco turkey means peacock in the same way that trash panda means raccoon.
Oh, I see. Okay.
There's also a minor league baseball team called the Rocket City Trash Pandas.
Okay. And I know that trash panda is a raccoon because of Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's right.
The only reason we always just called them raccoons.
There is
that we didn't have enough interaction with raccoons to discuss their eating habits. I think is I'm from Wisconsin. There's not a lot of raccoons there.
No, not a lot.
We have badgers.
An entire college full of them.
That was a double too. You've officially gotten three fingers from the sound guy.
Nathan's doing the sound, you guys. Let's have a nice round of applause for Nathan.
Let's hear it for Nathan.
You just got a hat trick.
Yeah.
Hat trick of fingers.
Okay, so you don't actually like the sports.
I do kind of like the sports, but...
Again, it's the written word.
Yeah.
And in this case, some sort of graphic that goes with it. All right.
That's funny.
What else you guys got? I mean, we're doing good. We only have about 10 minutes left, so we're You got any dorkdoms you want to tell the people that they should get out there? I mean, clearly there's some true crime fiction that they should see.
Support all the comic book shops. There's so many fandoms you can get into at the comic book shop.
That's very true.
Board games to action figures to comics, whatever it is.
Find your local board gaming and or RPG gaming community. I used to live in a college town, so we'd have new players every 4 years. And then I moved out of there because I got tired of having to make new friends.
Every 4 years.
No, because you move. Because you are on the run.
That's right.
Is there a board game place where you can play here in Sioux Falls?
Yep, there are a couple of shops. There is the Game Chest on Minnesota Avenue. There's Dragon's Den, which is... they've moved a while back, and I can't remember where they are. They're like way west.
It's an interesting new kind of thing that's happening, that they'll sell board games, and they'll sell Magic the Gathering cards, mm-hmm. and they'll sell dice and whatever, but they will also provide space where you and your friends can go and game, or if you don't have any friends or you just move somewhere, show up and go, can I play?
Yep.
And for the most part, nerds are the nicest.
Mm-hmm. So that's when I had my comic book shop, it was a comic book shop and a gaming shop, and I mean, the gaming is really what supported the shop and people coming in and playing the games at the shop.
Right. Do they anyone have like a tea kettle, or a coffee pot? Can you get, or is it all just like soda pop?
They actually, I know there are stores in larger cities, but they're basically board game cafes.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's a really good one in Omaha, Spellbound, Spielbound. What is it, Jeremy? Spielbound. Got it.
Spielbound, Spellbound.
Spellbound.
Yes.
Right. This is a magic store called Spellbound.
So, yeah, you just go in, get your coffee. I think they also do beer, which is exciting. And then you rent out a game or you buy one.
Oh, there used to be one in Los Angeles. And the two guys who owned it, one of them used to be a pastry chef. So once a day, he would make a pie. And a fruit pie, like a fruit or a sweet pie. Mm-hmm. And if you got there early enough, you could buy a piece of pie. And then when that pie was gone, was gone. He would make another one tomorrow. They did have sandwiches. Yeah, it was. But they didn't survive the lockdown, which is too bad.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, they had thousands of games though, and you could go. And a moment of silence.
Take the hat off
for the for the game stores that didn't make it.
Well, more for the pie, but yeah.
Yeah. Look at us. We're all about the pie.
Yeah, if anybody wants to go out for lunch after this, I'm actually quite hungry. So I'm a fan. Okay, so you would recommend going to your local comic book stores and finding a local game store, and what else? I don't know. I think we pretty much covered it. Tell me, Luke, what's your handle?
It was
L Johnson, right?
At L Johnson Comedy on the Twitters.
And you're at
Debub Comedy.
Debub Comedy.
Debub Comedy.
There we go. And this is the Snow Jam Comedy Festival. Ooh. Yeah, that's it here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And it's been a delight. Thank you so much for being on the show, you guys.
Absolutely. Thanks
for
having us. A great time.
All right. And you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?